Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Well, there's a great story in Exodus 2 about the tale of two mothers. I'd like to read that to you, and then I want to tell you some stories about mothers and just consider with you what it means to be a mother, spiritual mother. Some of you are literally mothers. Some of you have mothered children who were not your own. And I'm grateful to all of you. This is the story of the birth of Moses. About this time, in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 of Exodus, about this time a man and a woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance watching to see what would happen to him. Soon, Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. Then the baby's sister approached the princess. "Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" she asked. "Yes, do," the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. "Take this baby and nurse him for me," the princess told the baby's mother. "I will pay you for your help." So the woman took the baby home and nursed him. Later, when the boy was older, when the boy was weaned, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, "I lifted him out of the water." Really a great story of Moses' birth and how he was raised. And you all have stories on how you were raised. I mean, because I've been a counselor for many years, along with being a pastor, and because now I work with pastors, I get to hear stories, which I will not regale you with all the stories, but they're not always nice. And, you know, as my neighbor says to me, "I just long for the good old days when my mother and their kids could just do this or that." And I say, "Oh, the good old days when my grandmother got pregnant out of wedlock in 1926? No, not those days. Oh, when my mother was adopted, when her aunt got pregnant out of wedlock. No, not those good old days." We know, don't we? The good old days in motherhood didn't exist. Or fatherhood. In 1964, when I was a little guy, little kid just going into grade school, my grandfather died, and my grandmother on my mother's side came to live with us. She lived with my folks from 1964 until 1991. That's a long time, right? That's a long time. So I grew up basically all my formative years with my grandma in the house, and it was pretty good. It wasn't perfect. No family is perfect. If your family is perfect and your mother is perfect, you're living in denial. That you need maybe see a counselor that's above my pay grade. I'm teasing you a little bit, but you understand what I'm saying. And I was one of five kids and a dog and grandma and dad and mom. Pretty big, pretty active house, right? 8 people in the house. And my dad and my uncle redid our basement. Kind of made a nice living room and kitchen. And my brother next to me and I had a room in the basement next to grandma. That's how I grew up. And I kind of liked it. My grandma was just, she was a sweet woman. Boy, she just jumped in the water with us, man. She could make bread and do laundry and she was just great. We loved her. But we said to her from time to time, tell us about your family, as little kids do, right? Because we didn't know her family. She was a daughter with seven brothers from South Dakota. Think about that. Way back in the day where she was raised. Well, we'd say, who are your brothers and sisters? You know what she would say? Oh, I don't remember my brothers' names. I don't remember their names. We say, how could you not remember their names? We know all our brothers and sisters' names. Well, my mother says to us at one point, we must have been in junior high, she said she had a really hard life. And basically used terms that translated mean they really abused her. And, those good old days. Are those the days we're longing for? No, not those days. Not those days. She never said their names. Isn't that incredible? It's incredible. And I don't know the story. I asked my mother not long ago. My mother is now turning 85. I got her candy today. I said, you want candy or flowers? She said, oh, candy. 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 Like mother, like son. Don't give me flowers. My grandma married this farmer in northwest Kansas, and he had a sister who was an RN in the 1930s. It was, pretty impressive, pretty honorable. And she had my aunt out of wedlock by a physician, a married physician in New York State. Golly. Yeah, the good old days, right? And 2.5 years later, guess what happened? Happened again. And my grandpa's sister, about to give birth to my mother, said, would you like to raise this child? And so my grandmother, who couldn't tell us her brother's names, and my grandfather took his sister's daughter, my mom, and they raised her as an only child. And so that, that's part of my lineage. And I could tell you, I could regale you with other stories that you would go, oh boy, oh boy. And you'd probably say, rightly so, I can top your story. I bet you could. And I could top my own story. And so I was raised in that family. And my mom is, my mom's still living. And my grandmother was a believing woman, went to be with the Lord in 1991 at age 91. She had a long run. But my grandma kind of raised us because she lived with us from the time I was a little kid. And I have very fond memories of her raising us and taking care of us. I don't know much about her family. My grandmother on my dad's side, my dad's with the Lord, so is my grandmother. In 1926, she got pregnant out of wedlock. In eastern Colorado, of all places. Ever been to eastern Colorado? It's not the end of the world, but I promise you, you can see it from there. I mean, you're just like, how could anybody even live out here? Well, she got pregnant. And they were a very strong, believing Baptist family. Let me tell you, that did not happen in 1926. Hello, world. And her dad, who was very religious, so I'm told, was so shocked by it. Yeah, we're always shocked, aren't we? Ever read 1 Samuel, 2nd chapter 11, 2 Samuel 11 about David and Bathsheba? These stories are not new, folks. He was so shocked, he sold his farm and moved to another farm. She gave birth to that child, and they raised him as her brother. They adopted him. And legally he was, but not biologically. So, yeah, stories. That's just my family. That's just my family. And they loved my grandma. She was a very committed believer. My grandma follows. She was so thrilled when I became a pastor. so thrilled. She was so proud of me. And she really cheered me on. But that's her lineage. And to her dying, God bless her, may she rest in peace, to her dying breath, she always referred to her baby as her brother. Because he was legally. And I said to my dad after my grandma died, I said, why? I said, what do you make of this? And he said, don't know. Never talked about it. You know as much as I know. So, boy, oh boy. Thank God for his grace for mothers, right? Thank God for his grace. It's not a perfect family. I didn't have a perfect family. And you know, my mom, who was raised by this South Dakota woman with seven brothers, my grandma, who adopted her, is 5'1" and kind of stout, was. Well, her birth mom was 5'10", and my mom looked just like her. My mom was 5'10", tall and pretty, but you know, I didn't know who that was. So I just want to say to you, both women and men, God's grace is always key in our life. I don't know your story, but I'm sure you could top my stories. And so the good old days never existed, but God's grace does exist. And so I'm very grateful for mothers, so grateful for mothers, all mothers. Our pastor in the church I grew up in, he was really a wise person. And when we gave flowers on Mother's Day, you know who got flowers? Every woman in the church. He was ahead of his time. Because he gave it to the mothers and all the women who wanted to be mothers. And all the girls. He said, someday you might be mothers. Everybody got flowers. I was kind of like that. And I kind of feel that way now. Because, you know, some people always wanted to be mothers and never got to be mothers. We've got a friend who is from out of state, who's a big-time neurosurgeon, about to retire now. Married, but never had kids. He told us the other day. Still at about age 60. All I ever wanted to do was just be a mom. I never had my own kids. She said, not true, but she said out of her feelings, anybody could become a neurosurgeon. I'm not so sure that's true. But you get her sentiment, don't you? Anybody could do what I do. Open people's brains up and do surgery. But the one thing that she so longed for, isn't that gripping? I mean, what do you say? I mean, what do you say to that? I'm really sorry. God made you. God loves you. I'm proud of you. I mean, you can't make a person feel better, right? But isn't that longing interesting? Isn't it interesting that people so long? And we have a friend who, back in the 1970s, now 45 years ago, as a young woman who was not really a Jesus follower, kind of a wild person, she became a strong Jesus follower and a wonderful friend. She had an abortion. And she said to us, and I believe her, she said, I wasn't even following Jesus. I didn't even know what I was doing. I didn't even know what it was. Well, so it was back in these crazy days in her life. And then she really came to know Jesus. And some decades later, not some days later, not some years later, but some decades later, she had this incredible sense of what had happened. And she never had any children. And she said, I don't know how to make my peace with this. She told my wife and me one night, she was talking to us, I don't know how to make my peace with this. What would you have told her? What would you have said to her? Not easy. I mean, it's just so often when we hear people's stories, and today on Mother's Day, when we hear their stories, Part of our response has to be, I love you so much, Mom. And part of the response has to be, I am so sorry. That really was hard. That was a mistake you made. Or a mistake that was made to you. I love you and I'm so sorry. That's what I want to say to you. God loves you. He made you. He knows you. And yes, there are qualities of mothers, of all humans. But don't you like the way the proverb says it? You know, beautiful words in Proverbs. I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to find it and look at it a bit. Because I love these words. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? You know this in Proverbs 31. She brings her husband good and not harm. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. Ooh. When she speaks, her words are wise. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand up and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Well, that's kind of beautiful flowery language. I don't know really who that aptly describes. No one perfectly, right? Because all humans, by their nature, are sinful. But there are many of you that have done very well. Some are mothers and some aren't. God bless you. God bless you. God loves you and he's proud of you. And I'm proud of you. As your transitional interim pastor, I'm really proud that you've done your best. And you know, and I know your best isn't good enough. It never is without God's grace. And some of our kids just turned out really great. And some of our kids turned out not very great. Boy, isn't there a mystery there? So much mystery. That's one of the things I liked about it. Way back in the day, remember Focus on Family with Dr. James Dobson? He hasn't done that now for about 12 or 13 years. He's an older gentleman now. But one of the programs that I heard once that stuck with me to this day is when he told the story of two brothers, two families. One family had everything, and they gave their son everything. And the mother poured her life into him, and he walked away. And another was kind of a bad mother. She didn't even like being around her son, and he was just kind of a hellion. And you know what that guy did? Of course, he becomes a surgeon and a leader in his church. And Dobson goes, make sense of that. How do you figure that out? I don't know the answer to that question. I mean, you know, a young pastor the other day said, well, you know, we've got four little kids, and we'd like to talk to you and your wife about kids. And we were talking to raising kids. And how do you do it? My wife said, it's easy. Just throw them in the water and hope they swim. They looked at me and I said, works for me. I mean, good luck, you're going to need it. Sure, raise a child up in the way he should go, the way she should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. That's pretty wise. That is not a promise. That is not a promise because they're their own people. I remember several years ago at my mother-in-law's 80th birthday, I love my mother-in-law so much. She was a wonderful Christian woman, loved God, married four times. Outlived all four of them. She was tougher nails, man. Yeah. You're sitting there thinking, I'm not sure I can top that old boy. At her 80th birthday, she said, you know, to her six kids, we were all sitting there at a beautiful restaurant in Louisville, she said, I didn't do it perfectly. And I know I hurt you. I'm really sorry. Will you forgive me for the times I hurt you? I thought, that's a good mother. That's a good mother. And we're all in that boat, aren't we? We didn't do our life perfectly. Now, isn't it interesting here that it really takes a whole... It takes lots of mothers in the village to raise kids. Isn't this story wonderful? That Moses gets born, they're under Egyptian rule, and in God's wonderful plan, Moses' mother gets to wean him. This is what it sounds like. She gets to get her child back after she tries to hide him. And those wonderful, I'm going to say wonderful bonding, I'm going to say 3 years. Well, I don't know exactly. It doesn't say. But let's say she weaned him at three. She got him. And then Pharaoh's family got to raise him. Wow, what an amazing thing that happened in God's economy. And how did she do? Sounds like she did pretty well. She didn't do it perfectly. Moses made mistakes, but in the end, two good moms got to raise him. And so I just look at that and I go, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the mystery of how this whole idea of motherhood works. I don't know. Some days I just go, wow. I felt that the other day. I was visiting a guy in jail. And for many years, I did Sunday preaching at the jail in Champaign County. And that was always interesting because you didn't have to go to church if you didn't want to. We had about 30 or 40. It's definitely a captive audience. I mean, nobody's going anywhere. And one guy was just telling me the other day, he said, I walked away from my mom when I was 18. And he said, I haven't seen her in 20 years. But I know she's still around, and I know she prayed for me. And when I get out of here in a few weeks, I'm thinking about looking her up. And I said, I just repeated what he said to me. I said, sounds like you're thinking about looking her up. He said, yeah, I am. Do you think I should? I said, what do you think? I'm not an expert on his life. I'm not going to tell him what to do. That's not my job. I'm just there to visit him, right? Jesus said, visit those in prison. I had a chance to visit. He said, I'd really like to. Look her up. I said, sounds like you're going to. He said, yeah. I said, what are you going to say to her? I said, what do you want to say to her? And he said, I want to say there's a lot of water under the bridge. I said, okay, that seems reasonable. What else would you like to say to her? And he said, I don't remember ever saying that I love you. And he said, I'd like to try that. I said, how's that sound to you? He said, well, it sounds scary. I said, would you like to practice? Now, I'm visiting, and we're behind glass at this place. When we did the services, of course, we're all in the same room, but here we're behind glass. He said, what do you mean, practice? I said, would you like to try saying it to me? I'll play your mom. You play you. He said, well, I don't know if I can do it. I said, well, why don't you practice? And he said, okay. And he says, you think I ought to call her mom? I said, is she your mom? He said, well, she's my mom. I said, well, that sounds reasonable to me that you call your mom if you wanted to. And the guy was 20 years old, a lot of water under the bridge, right? I mean, should I just maybe say, Mrs. Smith, I'm your son, but in due time, I'd like to call you mom. So I said, I think you call her mom. For the purposes of this role-playing, why don't you call her mom? So can you picture this? He's on one side. I'm on the other. And he says, okay, I'm ready. He cleared his throat. I can hear him clear his throat. He said, mom, I haven't been around much, as you know. But I thought I just would try to say something that's been on my mind. I love you, and I wanna try this again. I said, that's pretty good. I said, how'd that feel? He said, I think it feels really good. And then he just started to weep. He started to weep. He said, I think she did her best. I think she did her best. And I said, do you want to tell her that? He said, I want to tell her that. I said, let's practice that. He said, okay, we practice that. And he said, Mom, it's me and him, right? Can you picture this? But it was good. It was very powerful, very gripping to me. I'm just sitting there. He said, Mom, you did your best. I'm really proud of you for being my mom. Thank you. He looked at me and he said, how's that? I said, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. And I thought, boy, isn't that life? There's life. I don't know all the water. Now that guy can top my stories. Way top my stories. Whoa, no competition. I don't want to compete with that. But I want to say to moms and dads, thank you for doing the best you could. Without God's grace, none of us would be here. I wouldn't be up here in this pulpit. And I just wouldn't. Without God's grace, my grandpa would never have adopted his sister's little baby, born out of wedlock in 1933. Not without God's grace. Without God's grace, my grandma Follis on the other side, when she had her first son out of wedlock, never would have worked. Just wouldn't have. So thank God for moms on this Mother's Day. I like moms, Mother's Day. I'm not overly impressed with Mother's Day, Father's Day, all these holidays. I don't get too bent out of shape because I know people's lives are so broken. I'm like, so let's pull back a little bit on being too effusive in your praise. My mom was the greatest since Jesus' mother. No, she wasn't. No, don't go there. Don't go there. That's living in denial. But I think we can praise moms, and that's what I want to do today. I praise Moses' mom. I praise his adopted mom. In God's economy, who would ever have thought that would have come to pass? But it did. And here we are today. So God bless you moms. God bless you husbands. God bless all those who aren't married who are still good moms and who can take people under their wings. God bless us all, right? God bless us. And let's, on this day, give thanks that that Jesus' mother said yes. I'm so glad she said yes to the angel. And I'm glad you were born. We're all here. And so may the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus and the power and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you, moms. And may he bless you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you for our moms. None of us has a perfect mom, but we have moms that we love. And some of those words in Proverbs 31 do depict our own moms. Some were quite something. And those that weren't quite something, we still love. That's certainly my mom. She did her best, and her best wasn't good enough. But I pray that you will bless her today, Lord. Fill her with your spirit. And bless all the moms here at Central Park. And all the aunts and the uncles. And just all the moms, Lord. May your blessing be upon them. I'm thankful, God. Not for perfection, but for your loving kindness to all these women. For that I give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.